Welcome into a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I am chatting with Byron King. He writes The Gold Speculator with Jim Rickards. Byron, I want to discuss the overall precious metals market right now. The argument can be made that the precious metals, gold especially, is holding up quite nicely. We're seeing volatility in a number of other markets, but with gold, even with a somewhat stronger US dollar, or a US dollar staying still quite elevated, that gold is holding up there very nicely. There's clearly this little bit, at least, of a fear trade going on where people are diversifying into the precious metal. What do you think about gold? What are some of the factors you are watching?
I'm really pleased with what's going on in gold looking forward. I mean, the last couple of years have been miserable. Yes, I get it. You know, I mean, it's we had our nice little bump in early 2016 for the first about 7 months or so, and then it's really been very frustrating ever since. So that's where we are. But when you look ahead, when you're looking forward at where things are going, I see that we have to have a move back into gold for a lot of reasons. I mean, I think we're entering a time of inflation, government spending's out of control, interest on the debt's out of control. We were talking before we, you know, went online here, that, you know, the floods in the Midwest have, you know, ruined entire, you know, sectors of the breadbasket of the country. So watch for food inflation as the year unfolds. I mean, all that topsoil just washed down the Missouri River into the Mississippi. And the other thing is that there was just a new publication, just came out maybe in the last few days, an outfit called Incrementum Europe. They're in Europe. They're a Belgian-based, Liechtenstein-based asset managing company. Incrementum. They had a new report. They have this great chart in there that shows all of the different gold bull markets from the 1940s, the 1960s, the 70s, the 80s, earlier in the 2000s. And when gold begins to move, the initial move is very, it's almost parabolic. I mean, it really goes. And so we are right now still in sort of the flatlands of the gold precious metals market. You know, when that market decides to move, it's going to move fast. And for those who are sitting on the sidelines, my counsel here is that if you are not on board the train, you're going to miss it when it leaves the station. It's going to leave the station very fast, and you'll be chasing momentum. So I think there is there's upside built in to the gold story. You know, why gold? Well, you know, because the dollar's in trouble, the economy's in trouble, and how will this play? It will play out quickly. So if you're not there, you will miss you'll miss certainly the early phases of it, which is when a whole big chunk of the money gets made.
Well, Byron, in all fairness, the gold has been stuck in this trading range ever since 2013. So it's been a long process here. I think you can make the argument that it's more of this U-shaped bottom. But if you're trying to tell people that, you know what, you should have at least some exposure to the metal because when it does start to move, it can really pick up steam. How does that relate to the stocks, though? Usually the argument is the majors move first and then money starts to trickle down into the mid caps and then the juniors. Do you think that's how it will play out again this time when gold finally does start to run?
Well, when gold starts to run, the companies that will do well, sort of in a certain order. First of all, the royalty plays will do well because they, you know, they're not in the mining business. They have no daily expenses of, you know, running a mine. You know, they just kind of collect a check, or they have a claim on certain output of so many ounces of gold or silver, what have you. Royalty plays do well. Then producers, you know, who are, you know, well-run producers with you know, I mean, the more efficient, the better. I mean, the lower all-in sustaining cost, the better. But, you know, they too, because every dollar of gold increase in terms of price translates into, you know, pretty much bottom-line profit for those guys. So a well-run producer is a joy to behold. For example, just, you know, to name two off the top of my head here, Atlantic Gold, near Halifax, Nova Scotia, Great company, super well-run company. They built a mine, over the last couple of years, greased lightning. I mean, I was astonished at the rapidity and the crispness of how they executed to build their mine. They have low costs, growing production, growing profitability as they, kind of unbug the new mine. I mean, there's always little things you got to take care of. They're not doing anything wrong. They're doing everything right. There's one with a lot of upside there. Another company on the other side of the world that I like quite a bit, and they have really moved nicely in recent months, is called K92, and they are a management group that took over a mine that Barrick Gold shed back in about 2014-15, when Barrick was just kind of getting rid of everything that wasn't absolutely a core asset. Barrick had built about 97% of this mine, and they just literally walked away from it. The K92 group came in, took it over, finished things up, got it up and running. Beautiful ore deposit. Every time they drill, they're finding more and more and more. I had a great talk with their people up in Toronto at PDAC a couple weeks ago. Even now, without gold, really taking off in that, rocket ascent kind of way. I mean, there's two great companies that are absolutely positioned for a rising gold price.
So, Byron, one thing you and I were chatting about off mic is the trend that we've seen that usually happens around this year, at least in the last couple months, and that is money being raised, or at least attempted to be raised. We've seen some deals closed and even some oversubscribed deals, but one thing that you and I were talking about is that there are just still too many companies out there chasing what seems like a smaller and smaller batch of money. How do you balance out those companies that are raising money and still offering some opportunities to investors besides the other ones that really are raising money to keep the lights on and not produce a whole lot of value?
Well, here's where it's a stock picker's market, and here's where it's a newsletter writer's market. I mean, I absolutely do not know the story of every single gold company out there. There's not enough hours in the day. There's not enough days in the week to cover the companies that are out there. But I mean, but the companies that I write about in my newsletter, are ones that I follow pretty closely. I mean, there's a company that's a prospect generator that works in Mexico called Riverside. They announced a few weeks ago that, they were going to raise money. They've raised a lot more than what they announced. I mean, they just came out with a well oversubscribed placement because people who write checks know the management, know the company, and understand that the money will be well stewarded and well used, and not used, like you say, just to keep the lights on in the office in Vancouver, kind of a thing. So you're looking for teams that are going to be good and efficient, and just basically ethical about the money. I mean, when you write a check for these people to at the fundraising level, I mean, you usually want your money back. You don't want to hear stories about how they paid it all on salaries and, airline tickets to go to, some conference in Zurich or something like that,
Hey, I completely agree with that. You want that money being used productively, and there are many ways to use that money productively, but it's also just about understanding the overall story. Byron, when you're looking at certain companies, because you have outlined already today a producer, a explorer, and even a project generator, where do you try to find the value? Where do you think the market is most interested now? Is it good production, or is it exploration stories?
Well, right now, and in the last, say, year or so, the companies that have been rewarded quite a bit are explorers who were a combination of lucky and good. You have companies that just, they were probably in a good place to begin with. Here's a company like Great Bear, for example. They're in Red Lake. Okay, if you're in Red Lake, you're already a leg up on a lot of other people, a lot of other places. But Great Bear went out there. They couldn't raise money at 30 cents a year ago, and then they came up with a couple of absolutely fabulous drill cores. with, you know, big long lengths of very high grade gold, and the market rewarded them very much because of, you know, A, what they laid on the table, what they pulled out of the out of the drilling pipe, you know, laid it on the table. You know, yeah, that was rewarded, but there's a whole sort of psychology behind that. You know, you're in the right place, you're finding what we want to see, and we're happy with the management style that you're exhibiting. You know, and so it's not just a question of, you know, of a company having a good day out on the drill rig, you know, where they pull out the pipe and, you know, lay something down on the drill table, and hey, look at that, you know, all that shiny stuff. That's good, but it might not be good enough. But a good exploration story has been quite rewarding. I would say, though, that when the gold prices begin to move up, you know, when we really start to see that, you know, when we start to break up out of this sort of 1300-ish range that we're at, I think, you know, the royalty guys and producer guys are going to be those proverbial leverage bets on rising gold prices.
All right, we're going to wrap it up with that, Byron, but you are right. When that price starts to move, then I think more investors will see value in some of these production stories, also in some of these royalty and streaming companies. However, they already have started to run, so maybe that's where the money is hitting first and hopefully will trickle down. But right now, you need to be very, very selective and hope that when you do enter those exploration stories that they manage their money correctly and that they actually go out there and find something, and then even on top of that, explain it very well to the market so that everybody can understand it and start to get on board. It's still a tough market, something that you and I were talking about a lot off mic, but you can still find some value. And if the gold price or silver price or all of those start to take off, then there is a lot of upside, but hey, we're still waiting for that breakout to happen. Byron, it's great having you on the show. Thanks for taking some time and have a great weekend.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.